young United States of America between 1861 and 1865, more than a few survivors of that bitter struggle from both sides, Union and Confederate, thought it fitting to set aside a special date every year, not only to honor those who had perished in the fighting, but also to provide a time for reflecting on what it was that had occurred that placed community against community, citizen against citizen, family against family, and brother against brother. Every semester in the approaches to literature courses I teach at a couple of local colleges, we read and discuss several stories and poems about war, among them Ernest Hemingway's Soldier's Home, Tim O'Brien's How to Tell a True War Story, and Henry Reed's Naming of Parts. Hemingway's Soldier's Home features a young soldier who has returned home from World War I a few months after the majority of soldiers from his hometown and has therefore missed the fanfare of the welcoming parades. He also finds that the local townspeople have heard so many war stories already that they have become inured to the basic details, and now they need to hear sensational renditions to become interested. O'Brien's How to Tell a True War Story deals with an incident that occurred during the Vietnam War. The narrator examines the incident from the perspectives of three different soldiers from the same patrol unit. Eventually, the narrator suggests that it will probably be impossible for him to ever get the story exactly right. Henry Reed's Naming of Parts is a poem composed of five stanzas, each with six lines. The first 3.5 lines of each stanza feature a drill instructor, filled with self-importance, droning on about the naming of rifle parts, and wholly oblivious to the silent beauty of a spring day. In contrast, the 2.5 lines of each stanza feature the raw recruit, who muses on the red flowers of japonica plants in a neighboring garden, and the bees fumbling about among them. Students seem to appreciate the situational irony of Reed's poem, the drill instructor's authority being deflected by the recruit's wandering and waning attention span, alighting eventually on the basics of nature, the vigorous bees assaulting the beautiful garden. Memorial Day was inaugurated in 1868 to honor Civil War veterans, but by the end of the 19th century, it had become a day for decorating the graves of all American soldiers. We define memorial as of or relating to or being in memory, and the word comes to us from the late Latin memorale, by way of Old French and Middle English. It's derived from the Latin memoralis and memoria, meaning to be mindful, to remember. Thus, the intent is for this day to be commemorative, to serve as a remembrance of persons and events, to be mindful of them. The question then is, will anything change because of our mindfulness? When we look at the horrific history of the Civil War, the spawning ground for Memorial Day, and then look at the equally horrific histories of every engagement American soldiers have participated in since the Civil War, what do we see? A wise friend once told me that the evolution of human consciousness is a slow thing. Perhaps the best we can hope for today is that each of us takes at least a moment to be mindful of our individual and collective capacities to destroy one another, and what we might each do to work against those tendencies. From Orono, Maine, have a great Memorial Day.